Good morning and welcome to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Matthew Young. I'm the campus pastor here at Bremen, and we're so glad that you're with us today. I believe you're in a good place. I've been connected with Chapel Hill. If you don't know much about our church, we are one church in four locations, and God willing, five, six, seven, eight, however God continues to extend our reach and give us opportunity to reach people. But I grew up in Douglasville, and a church started in my high school, Chapel Hill. Church of Chapel Hill started in Chapel Hill High School. And when I was 14 years old, with no connection to Jesus, no real connection to church, a leader entered my life and began to show me what it looked like to follow Jesus. And I've been connected with Chapel Hill for almost 17 years, and it has just made the difference in my life. And so I believe you're in a good place, and we're glad to have you here today. Listen, before we jump into the message, whether this is your first time here or you call Chapel Hill home, we want to give you an opportunity to speak into what we may be teaching on in the coming months throughout the rest of the year. And actually, we have a survey available at chapelhill.cc, or if you have the Chapel Hill app, you can go there as well. But if you go there, there's just a thing that says, take the survey. And there's really three questions that we're asking on there. The first one is, what Chapel Hill location are you at or do you attend? So you hit Bremen. The second one is asking about what you'd like to hear about from God's Word. And there's some things there that are maybe some suggestions, but there is a box there that says other. And so if there's something that's not on that list that you're just curious about, and listen, your name's not on it, so you could kind of put whatever you want. I mean, there it does ask for an email, but maybe you got a weird email that doesn't connect to your name, like mine. My personal email is mtyoungc@gmail.com. If you're really smart, you could guess that's Matthew Young, but most people are not going to. So it's pretty anonymous. But you can put anything on there that you're interested in, and we want to really know what you're curious about. And then there's another one that asks if there's a language you speak other than English, because we're trying to really see who's in our church and are there needs that maybe are out there that need to be met that we don't even know about yet. And so if you would love to, or if you'd like to or be interested to, we'd love for you to take some time to fill that out. It's going to be open through the evening, so you can even do that later. And if in 3 months you're like, oh, why are we talking about that? Listen, we gave you an opportunity, okay? So there it is. Take advantage of it. Well, listen, we're in this series called I Found. And we've been sharing some things that we've uncovered in following Jesus that we want you to see as well. And again, like we said every week, that some of us are living in every single day. You know, finding something valuable or finding something that we're looking for is one of the greatest feelings ever. And I remember when I was a kid, one side of my family has like a lot of cousins and stuff, and the other side doesn't. One side of my family is really loud, and the other side's really quiet. And so on my loud side of the family, we used to get everybody together for a big Easter egg hunt. We'd do it at some of my other family's house that had a decent amount of land, and they'd hide all the kids in one room, and then they'd go out and put all the eggs out, and then they'd give you the instructions, don't crush the little kids, things like that, you know, that might actually matter. And so, you know, because in the race for eggs, you don't see height or age, you see eggs. And if there's something between you and the egg, it's going down. And so they try to remind us, hey, pay attention to the little kids. And so then they'd release us all, and you'd go find all the eggs, you know, and then get them together and sit down in the driveway and pop them open and look. You know, there were some eggs that we were really, really excited to find. Did anyone do eggs with cash in them? Anyone do that? Okay, so my family did. They'd put dollar bills in some of them. And I was really willing, you know, because afterwards you have an educational time because you learn about bartering. And you're like, listen, I'll give you 18 packs of Skittles for your dollar. That's a good deal. You know, and you have some kids that are young and you can take advantage of them and they'll give you the dollars because Skittles are, you know, it's a handful of Skittles versus $1. And so I loved the ones with money in them. And that was the goal. Get the ones with money. We trade all the ones with candy so you get the ones with money because then you can go buy whatever you want. And then you just eat your brother's candy. Don't tell my kids that story because I don't put cash in their eggs. I buy a bag of Skittles and I split it between 60 eggs. Okay, that's how we'll do it. I'm just kidding. Two bags. But this is really the heart behind the verse that we've kind of been launching from for this series, I Found. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells this parable. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure that's hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had, and he bought that field. The treasure in this parable is the kingdom of heaven. And this parable teaches one point, that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is so valuable, it's worth sacrificing everything to get it. It's this idea, we talked about it last night, that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And if we could talk about the Easter eggs again, it was this idea that, sure, candy seemed valuable, but a handful of candy I was willing to trade for a single dollar because I understood for me that the dollar was more valuable than the candy. And some of us in life hold on to this candy, whatever it is, and yet the kingdom of God is far more valuable. And what the parable teaches is that you'd be willing to give away what seems like so much, but in reality it isn't, in trade for that which is truly valuable. I love, there was a man named Jim Elliot. If you're ever interested in reading his story, his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, wrote a book called The Shadow of the Almighty. And he was a missionary that was ended up being killed on the mission field by those that he was trying to reach. And it's a really beautiful story because in the end, the wives gain access to this tribe that killed their husbands and eventually get to bring them the gospel. And the village gets saved. And Jim Elliot's son eventually becomes friends with the man that murdered his dad. And they visit the United States together and he follows Jesus. Just a really incredible story. But Jim Elliot said this, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And this is really the story of the gospel, that there's so much we think is so valuable, but really it's not, and it's all going to go away one day. And so people think that we're foolish to follow Jesus. Oh, there's no fun in following Jesus. We're like, no, you don't see where the real fun is, where the real life is. And we realize that all these things we could spend our time and effort and energy on are going to go away. And so really, we're not foolish to give the things we cannot keep because we're the only ones that will have something we cannot lose. And today, I want to speak from the idea, I found life. Here's one simple truth for you. One simple truth. All of life rests on the resurrection. All of life rests on the resurrection. The resurrection is a big deal. In 1 Corinthians 15, as Paul is making an argument about the resurrection, here's what he says in verse 16. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16. He says, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. See, Paul is addressing this school of thought that was entering into the church that was saying that the dead are not raised. There is no resurrection for us in the end. And he says, whoa, hold on, everybody. If we begin to believe that and teach that, that the dead are not raised, then that means Jesus was not raised. And if Jesus was not raised, we're wasting our time. And we're still in our sins. And he's not God and he's not Savior. He says there's a big problem if the resurrection didn't happen. And so all of life rests on the resurrection. I want to give you a few reasons why. And here's the one. Because through the resurrection, number one, Jesus proved that he was God. Jesus proved that he was God. You know, a lot of times people want to focus on proving the resurrection. And we actually talked about that last Easter. We presented to you some evidences around the resurrection and people that went looking to disprove it and ended up believing in it. And so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about proving the resurrection. I understand why that's important for many people because they're saying, well, before I really care about what it means to me, I need to believe that it's real. But what I really want to focus on is not proving the resurrection as much as telling us what the resurrection proves for us. What does it mean to us? Why does it matter? But on the idea of proving the resurrection, I'd say just one thing. One of the most convincing evidences about the resurrection is that Jesus just didn't disappear when he was resurrected. Jesus didn't just disappear. You know, I shared, I think, last week or the week before when we were talking about I found passion, that I have a passion for learning, and that can go in all kinds of ways. But one of the things I'm interested in right now is like card tricks and illusion stuff, and my kids are like in it with me. And there's this idea when it comes to card tricks or illusions called the cleanup. And it's the idea that you do something so that if people examine further, they can't tell how the trick was done or that it was a trick at all. And there's actually some places that would not invite you to come on stage and take a look behind everything, that would not let you go backstage, that would not let you examine the deck of cards or whatever, because if you do, you're going to discover it was a trick, or you're going to discover how it was done. It's called the cleanup. But Jesus, he didn't need a cleanup, because for him it wasn't a trick. I could understand if there was no evidence ever after Jesus' crucifixion. They say he rose, but there's no body. We know that. There were guards, probably one of the first times they had living guards guarding a dead body, because they were worried about something coming and taking his body away, and then making, because he said he was going to rise from the dead, and we're not letting people believe that. And so Jesus, though, doesn't just disappear. See, we got invited on stage, we got invited backstage, we got to examine him, we got to hear from him, we got to learn from him, they got to eat with him. 500 people did, in fact, over 40 days. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. It said, Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried, he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. And then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. And last of all, I saw him. There are so many wonderful things that the resurrection proves, but one of those is that Jesus was, in fact, God himself. But I would say there's a bigger implication to what the resurrection proves, because the way that we understand that Jesus was God himself is because that's what he said. And the key to this is really in the scripture. It says, Christ died for our sins just as the scriptures said. He was buried, he was raised, and from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. You know, we struggle to trust people who don't fulfill their word. Have you ever had anyone that didn't fulfill their word and you kind of had to re-give them trust? And you didn't naturally just want to trust them, because they went back on something that they said. I give you my word should mean something. And many people would say there was a day and age in which a handshake and your word was as good as a contract. And when people go against their word, it's hard not to distrust the whole person. And what Jesus showed us is that everything he said about himself, everything that he said he was, everything that he said he would do could be trusted. It's hard to take people at their word, but you can still take Jesus at his word. Jesus made some of the most outrageous claims. He said things like, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He said things like, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And then he began to talk about what was to come, and he gave us pictures. He said, basically like Jonah, the Old Testament story, how Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days, I'm going to be in the belly of the earth for 3 days, and then I'll come out again. Jesus talks to religious leaders who really thought a lot about the temple, and he looked around, and they had spent so much time and so much energy building this place, and he said, listen, tear down the temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. And they were like, oh, you're crazy. It took our forefathers so many years. But what they didn't realize he was saying was, tear down this temple, tear down my body, and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. And then the week before he's crucified, he says more specifically in Matthew 20, verse 18, he says, listen, we're going to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die, and then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. The conversation around Jesus has always been, he's either crazy or he's right. And one of the things that we say around here is, you can believe whatever you want about Jesus, and it doesn't change who he is at all. But It changes everything about us. And so Jesus said he would be betrayed, and he was. Jesus said he would be sentenced to die, and he was. Jesus said he would be mocked and beaten and crucified, and he was. He said he would be raised again, and he was. He said he was God, and he is. He said he would forgive our sins, and he does. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us, and he doesn't. He said he was going to go away for a little while, but he would send the gift of his Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to teach us, instruct us, comfort us, counsel us, lead us, and he did. And he said he would come back, and he will. The resurrection proves that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he can do what he says he can do. All of life rests on the resurrection because it teaches that we can trust what he said about himself. Here's the second thing, that Jesus will resurrect me. Jesus will resurrect me. I have any Avengers fans in the house? Any Marvel fans? Anybody psyched about Avengers Endgame next week? I'm so excited. There wasn't as much noise in here as I believe. There are some of you in your hearts that are like, yes, but I'm not going to yell. Avengers Endgame, it releases. It is the culmination of everything. Sorry, I'm fanboying a little bit. But in Avengers, my mind went to it. In the first Avengers movie, we get this understanding that in their world of the Avengers, it's the first time they get exposed to the fact that, like, Earth and humans are not all that there is. They get invaded by aliens. Some of you are like, yep, this is exactly why I don't watch Marvel, because you sound like a nerd up there. So they get invaded by aliens. There's this wormhole that opens in the sky, and aliens come out, and it's so awesome, and things break, and... But they get introduced to this idea that they're not all that there is. And it really rocks their world. And in the same sense, when Jesus is resurrected from the dead, it opens up the reality to us that, wait, there is more than just here. There is heaven. There is hell. There is eternity. It brings into light all of these things. And here's what John chapter 11, verse 25 says. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? It's interesting here because Jesus was speaking to a woman whose brother had just died. If you know the Bible story at all, it's the story about Lazarus. Jesus gets word that his friend Lazarus is sick and is going to die. And they say, come, please. We know you can heal him. And Jesus delays in getting there. And he shows up late. Lazarus had been dead for 3 days. And they said, Jesus, if you were just here, if you were just here, he could be alive. And Jesus said, he'll live again. And it's funny because the woman he's talking to says, I know he'll be alive when everyone's resurrected in the end. And Jesus kind of addresses what she's saying because he speaks to her very specifically about her brother, because in just a minute he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But he speaks in a more general sense as well. And this is what one Bible teacher said. He said she knew a little of the Lord's power because she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Which being very kindly interpreted might mean, Lord, you are life. Ah, but Jesus said, you must also learn I am the resurrection. You already admit that if I had been here, Lazarus would not have died. I would have you further learn that I being here, your brother will live though he has died. And that when I am with my people, none of them shall die forever. For I am the resurrection and the life. If Jesus was not resurrected, then we surely wouldn't be. But he was. And he is the resurrection. And he is the life. And Jesus says to her, do you believe this? And that's really always the question to us. And do you believe this? Because the only way that we are resurrected, the only way that we experience the resurrection and the life, not just there, but here and now, and that's what we're going to talk about next, is if we believe him. if we believe in him, if we believe on him, if we put our faith and our trust in him, that's the only way we get to be a part of it. And it's the beautiful thing for all of us that it is our final hope. There are many things in this world that can disappoint us. I think about, you know, kind of the gap between expectation and reality. We were on vacation several weeks back, and in the place that we stayed at the beach, there's like this little putt-putt thing indoors. And when I say little, I mean little, okay? It's 9 holes, but man, they worked hard to get it fit in there. And they're pretty dingy little things. And so anyways, we've got 3 kids. We've got an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old. And we're like, hey, let's play some putt-putt. It's the worst idea ever, looking back now. And so basically, it was good that no one else was around because they really would think that we didn't like each other. You know, I got my 3-year-old daughter, you kind of just release her, like just go a hole ahead and like do whatever you want. Just go that way. So she's kind of doing her thing. And then, you know, you realize, well, now I've got to give instructions in every little thing because my kids walk up and they just step stuff down and just hit it. And I'm like, whoa, stop. Come back. No, the ball goes not there. The ball goes here. Okay, they hit it, and then they run up and hit it. I said, you only get one hit. Bring it back. You know, and it was on like that for an eternity. Okay, I don't remember how long it was. I won, naturally, but it wasn't worth it. The victory was not worth the stress. I think I lost a year or two of my life in that moment. There's this gap a lot of times between expectation and reality. But there is no expectation gap when it comes to Jesus. And we've said before, if there is, it's just because we're looking at it wrong. There is no expectation gap. He does not ultimately disappoint us. We may feel disappointed at times, but he doesn't disappoint us. He always comes through. He always does what he says he's going to do. Maybe not in the time we want or in the way that we want, but he does. And the final hope that he gives us is that even when it looks like your hope here and now is slipping away, he says there is a final hope for you. That if you'll live through me, I will resurrect you. And you will have life forever. And the last thing that we're looking at with the resurrection is 3. Jesus offers resurrection power to me every day. Somebody say every day.
Every day.
For many people, there's often this gap between 2 and 3, that he will resurrect me one day. And I think a lot of people can grab hold of that and believe that and trust that, especially in the Bible Belt. But for that to become a reality that I live in that changes me and transforms me and leads me, and it changes the way I see things and the way I think about things and the things that I do and the things that I say and the things that I value, that's where a lot of times there's this gap for us. And so some people get burnt out on church because they go to church, but then they don't see any difference in their life. And they thought this idea that somebody told me if I just go to church, I'll be changed. But there's this place between knowing and seeing and it becoming a reality in us. And Jesus isn't just saying, I was resurrected and then one day I'll resurrect you. But he's saying also, I have resurrection power for you every single day. The resurrection is not merely meant to be an event we relate with 2,000 years ago. Not even just to come celebrate it once a year on Easter. It's meant to be a present reality that changes us every day. Here's what Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Now, this sounds a lot like the end resurrection, life to your mortal bodies, but that's not what he's talking about in this part of Romans. He's not dealing with resurrection in a physical sense. This part in Romans is reminding us that there are two forces at work. The Bible calls them the flesh. That's kind of the mortal side of us. It's everything in us that wants nothing to do with God. That's how the Bible kind of puts that idea of the flesh. And it talks about this idea of the Spirit. And it's talking about God's Spirit. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. And Paul reminds us in this section in Romans 8 that if we set our minds to live our way, that ultimately it leads to death. But if we allow God's Spirit to live in us and to lead us, it's life. There's resurrection power where you're ruled by regret, but instead you have forgiveness. Resurrection power means that there was a time where you were ruled by fear, but now you have peace. Resurrection power is a time that you were ruled by depression. Maybe you're in here and you feel like, I just can never escape this depression. I can't fill this gap, this void that seems in me. But there is resurrection power today that brings joy. There are some of us that our flesh side of us, our mortal side of us, keeps us wrapped up in these addictions, and it's starting to unravel our life. But there's resurrection power that brings freedom. The same Spirit that calls the body of Jesus to come alive can live in you. And he can bring you to life as well. And eventually, there is a final and a physical resurrection. But there is no resurrection in the end if we don't let him resurrect us now. It's interesting because there's an event that has to precede resurrection. Death. Jesus had to die before he could be raised. And I remember when I was a teenager, new and kind of following the Lord, and I don't know what I was doing, but I had like the Christian TV on, and there was a guy preaching on it. My brother walked through the room, and the guy on the TV is like, if you want to die, come to the altar. My brother was like, hold up. What is he talking about? And it sounds kind of crazy to people that may not understand. But Jesus had to die before he could be resurrected. And if we want to have part in his life, we have to have part in his death. One of my favorite scriptures, and we quote it often, Galatians 2:20. It's something I claim over my life almost every day. It says, for I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But the only way I have access to that life is if I keep saying, I'm crucified, I'm dead. My ways, my thoughts, my desires, my plans, everything that I think, God, I'm just putting in your hands. And that's how we have life. If we want the mind of Jesus, we have to put our mind to death. If we want the ways of Jesus, we have to put our ways to death. If we want the joy of Jesus or the peace of Jesus or the life of Jesus, we got to sell all that we have, like the parable we started with. My hope is that you, the same way that I do, am imperfect, but I wake up every day and I see Jesus and who he is, and I say, I'm coming after you today. I want you. And it's not just for those that are like, oh, I want to follow this idea of Christianity. No, it is the truth for all people, everywhere, for all time. To have relationship with Jesus is what we were created for. So it's not just like, oh, I'll pass on that thing and do my own thing. You pass on that, there is nothing else. What we like to say around here is, Jesus lived the life that you and I should have lived. And he died the death that you and I should have died in our place. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And he offers the free gift of salvation to everyone who would believe. And it is a gift that is not just meant for then. It's a gift for now. It's life now. It's transformation now. It's joy now, and peace now, and purpose now, and power now. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me in this room today? Maybe you're in here and you're saying, that's me. I feel distant. Maybe you're in here today and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. But maybe you're not even sure 100% what all that means to you. Here's the good thing. You don't have to take a bunch of classes. You don't have to say anything specific.
What you got to do is, I believe that God's speaking to you and he's moving on your heart. And there's something in you that's stirring. It's that simple. I did it one way, and it was the wrong way. Jesus did it the right way, and he offers me life. And you're saying today, I want to enter into this life. Maybe you're in here today, and you prayed some prayer a long time ago, but you feel so distant from that, so far from that. Then you didn't feel like it ever became a reality in your heart and in your life. Today can be different. I'm just going to invite everybody to say this with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you. You paid the price I should have paid so that I could have life. Forgive me today. Lead me in your ways. Let your resurrection power be real. Father, I thank you for each person in here today. As we've heard the resurrection story, if we've looked at what the resurrection proves about you, how the resurrection proves that we will be resurrected too, and how the resurrection proves that we have power each and every day. And I'm just asking, God, you would continue to pour out your spirit, pour out your life in this church body. Help us keep reaching people in Bremen, and let us be different each and every day as we realize we've been resurrected with you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.